headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's go ahead and see how futures are trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 643 and three quarters, up 5 1/4. July, 630 and a quarter, up 3 1/2. Soft May wheat, 581 and it's up 1 3/4. July, 585 and a half, up 1 3/4. March corn, 444 and a quarter, unchanged. July, 455 and a quarter, down 1/4. December, 459 and 3/4, down 1/4. March soybeans, 1333 and a half, up 2. July, $13 and a half, up 2 1/2. November, 1124 and a half, up 2 3/4. March soybean meal, 447.20, up 80. March soybean oil, 38.66, up 10 cents. February live cattle, 141.02 and a half, down 17 and a half. March feeders, 167.50, down 30. February lean hogs, 86.47 and a half, down 10.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
The 25th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. Among those presenting March 4th at the Beef House, Ag and Investment Services' Sue Martin. Also, Murray Wise will give us his thoughts on 2014 land values. And Jonathan Kopress will take us through the key facts of the commodity title of the new Farm Bill. And, of course, our great panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. It's all just $30, and we'll give you a Continental Breakfast, Beef House Lunch, and commemorative 25th anniversary hat. Call 217-333-7300 with your major credit card to reserve your spot, and you'll receive your tickets in the mail. That's 217-333-7300. It's a USDA reporting day. That means that this afternoon at about 12:39 Central Time, we'll have a special report after the numbers come out this morning and the trade has had a chance to diagnose and digest the numbers as they move forward into the close. And along for that ride will be Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, as he is right now ahead of the report. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Dave.
So, what are your thoughts? Maybe a small deduction in ending stocks in corn and beans in order?
Well, that's the way the trade's leaning. Basically, we're talking the average guess about 10 to 20 million bushels lower for the corn ending stocks and anywhere from 5 to 10 million bushels lower for the bean ending stocks. The idea is exports is going to remain somewhat firm for both commodities in general. The fear is they could raise importation numbers on the beans up towards 40 million bushels to help satisfy the tighter supply situation we have here domestically in the U.S. But those are actually small numbers to really be arguing a whole lot about. If they would change corn by 100 million bushels of these beans in these stocks by 20, 25 million bushels, that would be more of a market factor. We'll see what the numbers are, then we'll start to focus on the annual outlook numbers as we go towards the end of the month, and more importantly, the stocks, March stocks report.
Is a 10 million bushel deduction in U.S. soybean ending stocks justified given the fact that we're over 104% on exports already, or is the USDA, is the trade anticipating USDA is going to say, no, we're going to be cautious because we're anticipating cancellations?
Well, at this point in time, I think they'd be somewhat cautious. I mean, it sells a sale until it's canceled, but we'll see how that flows as we go along. I think they take somewhat of a conservative approach at this time. The thing is, you know, producers are pretty well, fairly well sold up on beans and hanging on to corn. Anytime you see one-sided type of movement like that, the news seems to support that position over a period of time.
So if March corn's 444 and a half, and we get a small deduction, as you're saying, 10, 20, 30 million bushels, so not a whole lot on the ending stocks. What does it mean going forward into those March reports?
Well, I think it's somewhat supportive, fundamentally and technically, both now. The trade's been selling puts and calls both up till last week, and the larger traders came in and kind of covered some of the short call positions with the idea maybe this March corn can move on up to this 455 area here over the near term. Also, too, we saw large commercials come in and be a seller of the December 450 corn put options, indicating that there's some optimism in that December corn futures contract. So overall, it looks like a sideways, a little higher trade here over the next week or two.
So let's say December corn in the next week or so would rally to 470. Is that a value level for doing some business?
Well, from a producer or landowner's side, farm manager, whatever, I think you got to use some strength in here to get some downside protection. We've been approaching the market, you know, by establishing a price floor. So we come in here, if weather cooperates, and we see some bearish fundamental news come in, we've got some downside protection, especially below 4.5. It seems like once we talk prices below 4.5, that really is an ouchie for cash flow purposes. But we're tackling the corn market in a 50-cent bracket. We like to protect that $4.50 to $4 level. If things would get bearish and go down $4, we feel there's pretty good demand in there. So we're taking it one step at a time by that $4.50, $4 benchmark.
And then on the soybeans, you look at November, we're $11.25 and a half. Many locales, that's close to $11 cash. That seems like a good, pretty good price.
Well, especially if we come in and see a much larger acreage base come in. Some surveys in Iowa projects up to 11% more bean acres in Iowa, up to 10.3 million acres. Talking to seed guys here through central Illinois and in central Indiana, there's quite a bit of a shift from corn to a few more bean acres, for say, on actual seed sales and seed distribution coming up here. So the fear is larger bean acres, and we like to attack the soybean market in the same type of sense of the corn. We like to defend that $11 to $10 benchmark, feeling if beans slip below $11 here, it's going to cut into cash flow.
And I suppose that's the other piece of the reports today that we need to look at. Seems like USDA has been lagging behind any number of consultants and attachés out of Brazil on the size of that crop.
It's huge. It's going to be big to you know, move it up and down. You know, 2 or 3 million tons is, you know, not. I don't know if it's really going to affect the market a whole lot. What's more important is how fast those beans flow out of the southern hemisphere than anything. Our fear is that you know, we could see a little shifting from here to there. There's a huge discount. The incentive is for Asia to go ahead and book May on out in those deferred contracts there. So we like moving the cash beans here, replacing them with July options here. That gets you into the first part of the growing season and see what the market wants to do after that.
Thank you, Kurt.
Take care.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, March corn, 444 and three quarters, up a half. December, 460 and a quarter, up a quarter. March soybeans, 1334 and a half, up three. November, 1125 and a quarter, up 3.5. March soybean meal, 448, up 160. March soybean oil, 38.67, up 11 cents. February live cattle, 141.07.5, down 12.5. And March feeder cattle, 167.45, down 35. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.